Thank you so much, Rhonda. That's a. I like everything about that song. I've never heard it before, but I like everything about it. That'll be one of those now that I'll have to perhaps add to my inventory or something. I like the words of that song. That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have approached, I think, the end of a series that started back several weeks before the holidays called Soul Detox. It has to do with the issues that can be a part of our life that keep us from being all that God would have us to be. Things that interrupt our communion with Him, that keep us from being the witness that He would want us to be. And so we've talked about detoxification. And this morning we approach the subject of being clean and sober. Clean and sober. And you see there the picture this morning. And obviously as we think about detox, the first thing that comes to our mind a lot of times is drugs and alcohol and detoxification. And when we hear the terms clean and sober, it's usually in regard to people who've been through rehab and drugs and alcohol. But there is so much more to what we have talked about. I hope that as you have heard these various things through the weeks, that you have realized there's so much more to what God wants to do in our life. Well, while He would love to deal with drugs and alcohol if that's an issue in our life, indeed, those are just a small portion of the items that indeed can keep us from being like Jesus. And that indeed is the issue. That's where God wants us to be and what He wants us to be like. I want for text this morning, I want us to turn to the book of Exodus. And we're actually going to be a couple, three verses ahead of what you see there on the screen. We're going to start at Exodus chapter 3, verses 7, and then verses 10 through 12. And it just sets up the actual text which comes out of Exodus chapter 4. And so as we think about this message this morning, we want to think about it in relationship to this experience that Moses had. And we want to see what we can learn from that experience. Now, I also want to tell you a bit of good news I got this week. I got a letter in the mail from a company that we know as CCLI, which is a copyright licensing organization. And we have a license from them so that we can display words on the screen for you to enjoy, the Bible and various other aspects, words of songs and things like that. That all is a legal issue, and we have to have copyright permission to do that. You're supposed to have anyway. And then indeed, if we use video clips from movies or whatever to illustrate points in sermons or whatever, we have a license that came out some years later from them that's a video license so that we can take those clips because that's copyrighted material. And as we got our website built, the new website, we came to understand that according to the laws of our nation, that we were not allowed, when we put our service up on the website, we're not allowed to put anything up there except the message because the songs are copyrighted material and we're not supposed to rebroadcast them. But I got a letter this past week from CCLI saying that they have now orchestrated a licensing which for an annual fee allows us to broadcast on our website or stream live our entire service, which I think is a wonderful thing. It not only will save us having to produce hard disks for people that could not see all of the service before, but indeed it will allow them to take that right off of the website on the internet, and we'll still produce the disks if we need them for people who can't do that. But, you know, just hearing, and I think about this every time I sit and listen to the special music before I preach, I really consciously think, I wish everybody could hear that. The people who aren't here today, I would want them to hear that song. And so if we approve that and pay the fee and get the license, then we will be able to put our service in its entirety on the site. And that saves some time and effort for Mike. It enhances the experience for our people that are missing. And so I'm just excited about that. I'm always glad to get some good news, aren't you? And how many of you are glad that Debbie had this experience and that she indeed has had the opportunity to hear her father pray and just make sure, You know, we're not saying that he wasn't, but we're just saying he wasn't sure, and we're glad that he's sure now. And indeed that we know that he is saved. I think it's fun to burn these candles down. I'll buy as many white candles as you can have us burn down if you'll keep winning people to Jesus. How about that? Is that fair? Okay, so you keep winning them and we'll just keep lighting candles. Because I like it. You know, this little light of mine, we're just going to let her shine and we'll enjoy it and appreciate it. And we rejoice with you, Debbie. We're excited for you and your family as a whole. And what great good news. And we're glad that we as your church family can enjoy that as well. And you help us along the way. Okay, by now you should have time to have reached the book of Exodus. It's not very far into the Bible. And so hopefully you've found it by now. And we want to read together from Exodus chapter 3. I want to read verse 7, and then I'm going to jump to verses 10 through 12. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Jump to verse 10. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, I want us to advance forward to chapter 4 and read verses 10 through 12 together. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now 13 is not on there, but you just need to kind of catch it, just to kind of see where Moses is still going a little bit. In verse 13, he says, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. I want us to take a look this morning. We do know indeed that Moses kind of got past that and that he did indeed go and lead the people out of Egypt. We know that he was successful in that. We know that he made some human failures along the way, struck the rock, ended up not getting to go into the promised land because of some things he did. There were consequences to his actions. That's all into another sermon somewhere. But I want us to learn three things here this morning that help us as we think about the end of this series on soul detox, about becoming clean and sober spiritually. There are three simple things that I think we can take from this. First of all, we have got to identify the issues. We've got to identify the issues. What is it that God wants to do in our life, and why does He want to do it, and why is it that we struggle with it? We need to identify what God wants us to do, and that was very easy here because he said point blank to Moses, I want you to go get my people out of there. What were his words? Now go. Here's what needs to happen. These guys are in trouble. I don't like their suffering and their plight. You're the man. I want you to be the man. Go get them. He identified the issues, and we need to discern in our life, what is it that God wants to do with our lives? What is it that God would like to use us for? Now, there may be some things that may take a while to discern. I just had a conversation not too long ago with an individual who at one point in time in their life had made a statement about a call that they felt like they had, and they were going through a period in their life where they were feeling a little confused, and they were saying, I'm not sure about this anymore. And the truth of the matter was, there wasn't anything wrong with them. Everybody who has a call, for the most part, at some point, goes through some things as you're growing and maturing and discerning the specifics of those calls and those issues. You know, you go through and say, is this really it? Is this the real deal? Is this for sure what I'm supposed to be doing? It's normal. But we need to identify the things that we are supposed to do and identify the reasons that we may struggle with carrying out that direction. perhaps in our lives for us to get to where God really wants us to be, for us to get to the place where God can really do with us what he wants to do, we have to realize that there are some changes that need to be made. Now, we know that there were changes that took place when we confessed our sins and asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart and our life as our Savior. There were changes that had to take place. God forgave us some things that we had done. God put within us a desire to not do some of those things again, to be in rebellion to him. But sometimes, you know, like New Year's resolutions, sometimes our strength of commitment wanes. And we find ourselves in places we maybe shouldn't be, or having attitudes we shouldn't have, or doing things we shouldn't do. And it's not because we premeditatedly just plan to spit in God's eye, but we find ourselves adrift and kind of falling into some of our own whims and things. And so we need to understand that we have to face looking at, are there some things in my life that aren't as they should be? You know, it could be anything, and I can't even begin to get into a list of things, but are there activities, are there actions in your life that are not Christ-like? Are there attitudes in your life that aren't responding to Jesus or responding to people the way that Jesus would respond to people? You know, are there things that are going on? Are we putting things in our body? Are we looking at things? Are we watching things? Are we listening to things? Are we feeding ourselves on things? Are we doing things that are not the things that would draw us closer to God? Do we have attitudes that would be non-pleasing to God? Are we critical of people? Are we judgmental of people? Are we doing things that basically the Word says not to do? Because if we are, you know what? We ought to stop it. Tell me one good reason for not doing what God said for you to do. Tell me one good reason why you shouldn't do what God says. But more than that, look him in the eye and tell him. When he's asked something of you, when he's convicted you of something, when he's laid something on your heart and you don't respond to it, tell me why. Give me a good reason for not following through on what God directs you to do. Listen to the challenge of God's Word this morning in regard to how He would like for our lives to be. I share with you 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 this morning. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And then listen to what he says in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now see, I knew that part. I could have told you that. If somebody said, what's pure religion? I would have said, looking after the widows and orphans. But somehow we've memorized only the first half of that. Look at what the last half of the verse is. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Pure religion is not just taking care of widows and orphans. Pure religion is indeed having a social gospel. But it is indeed an evangelistic gospel as well, that we need to live by the Word of God. We need to keep our lives pure. It's not all that God has for us just to be forgiven. But because we're forgiven, He wants to also empower us to live victoriously. God identified specifically in Moses' life the task He had for him. And I'm convinced that if you truly look for God, that He will reveal His task that He has for you, the things He wants you to do. Now, the problem that we have sometimes is all of us think we're supposed to, when we get to thinking about what God wants us to do, we always think of it in really, really spiritual terms of some spiritual job that we perceive to be spiritual, which would be like working at the church. And sometimes God doesn't need you to work at the church per se as your full-time job. Sometimes he needs people to be in the factory. Sometimes he needs people to be homemakers. Sometimes he needs people to be taxi drivers. And sometimes he needs people, because all these people reach into the community and share their faith and their love of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And it gets done. Does he need people to be pastors? Yes, he does. Teachers, evangelists, all those things are qualified in Scripture. But he needs people in every other facet of life as well. My calling, my doing what God asked me to do by preaching the Word is no more important than maybe you selling insurance or making food or being in the retail market or stocking the grocery shelves or whatever it might be, writing news. You know, not everybody is going to do something maybe that is as individually visible, but it doesn't make them any less significant. Once we define what God wants us to do, we need to define why we're not doing it and the things that might be going on in our life that keep us from doing it. Now, once we identify those issues, we have to decide, what do we want? Do we want to cover up the spiritual trash in our life, or do we want to come clean and look on to something better? And so this morning, to be quite honest, it's not another morning to sit and wait for the sermon to end. But it's a morning to hear what God is saying to us, and in the process of the sermon, to say, God, as you've brought this thing to my heart and mind, I need to respond to you specifically about that thing and make sure that that's surrendered to you. I need to make sure that I'm ready to do what you want me to do and not do what you don't want me to do. And if you're here this morning and you're doing something God doesn't want you to do, you need to quit it today. This is the day. This is the moment. This is the time to say, I'm tired of messing around. I'm going to obey you. And if there's something that God's been asking you to do and you're not doing it, this is the day to say, okay, Lord, I'm in. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Now, I want you to look. Here's where we learn again from Moses. Because when Moses had all these things defined to him, what did he say? Oh, Lord, I am so amazed that you would pick somebody like me, but I am so excited. Help me to know how to do this job. And man, I'm ready to go. I just want to bless you and honor you with my life, and I'm ready. Is that what Moses said? What did Moses do? First thing, started making excuses. Do you know what an excuse is? When an excuse is given to God, that is a focus on our own inability, not a focus on His ability. Because God has never asked anybody to do anything that He wouldn't go along with them to get done. And somehow we kind of separate ourselves from whatever God's requests are, and we're saying, but God, I can't do that because doesn't God know more stuff than you? Doesn't God know more about you than you do? And so if He asks you to do something, doesn't He know already how He's going to bring that to pass and how He's going to get you in the right place, the right situation, right frame of mind, right equipment, all this in research? And doesn't He know all that stuff? And if He does, why are we arguing? Why are we making excuses? Why are we saying, I can't do that? Why are we saying, I can't quit this, or I can't stop that, or I won't start this, and I won't do that, and I can't this? And if God asks us to do something, He already knows how He's going to get it done. But this is not anything new. I mean, you can go back to Genesis chapter 18 and look in verse 14. There's a conversation going on between God and one of His people. And here's the question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, the question's in regard to an old woman having a baby. And they're pretty sure they already know the answer to the question, but they get surprised because that's not the answer that they're looking for. God basically says, I can do what I decide is necessary. And I'd like to do it through you. But here's the deal. If you won't let God do what He wants to do through you, you won't stop Him from getting it done. But when you disobey God, it stops you from going to heaven. You're not going to hurt God other than his feelings as a parent, knowing that you could have done it and didn't. So don't tell God why you can't. Because in most cases, when you're saying to God why you can't, what you're really saying is, I won't. Because God wouldn't ask you if he didn't think you could with his help. We find the question, is anything too hard for the Lord, in Genesis chapter 18. But if we turn over to the book of Jeremiah, we find in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, the answer to the question. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So the question is, anything too hard for God? And the answer is, nothing's too hard for God. So your excuses don't impress him. They just represent obstinance. And we go into the New Testament, we find corroboration for that particular attitude and theory when we look in Matthew chapter 19. Because in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. So if you've got some kind of habit in your life that you need to quit and you say you can't, yes, you can. With God's help, you can. If there's something in your life that God has asked you to do and you're saying, I can't, yes, you can. With God's help, you can. There is no excuse that God can't refute. There is no excuse that God can't take care of. And for Moses' sake, even though I'm sure God knew he could do just fine using Moses' mouth, he even helped him with the visibility of the thing, because when Moses kept talking about how he wasn't a good speaker, he said, well, listen, here's your brother Aaron. He's a good speaker. You go do what you can do, and I'll send Aaron along with you. He'll help you. He'll talk for you. Not a problem. See how simple that was? See how easy I fixed that? I can't is not in God's vocabulary. And when we're depending on and trusting in God, it shouldn't be in ours either. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges. It doesn't mean there might not be opposition. But we've got to stop making excuses for not doing what God tells us to do. If we will follow God's plan and God's directions, the outcome will be okay. I think part of the problem is we set our outcomes maybe based on everything temporal. Lord, this is what I see and this is what I think. Sometimes God doesn't ask you to think. He just asks you to obey. Because thinking will get you in trouble sometimes. Would you prefer to do everything on your own without God's help? And if God is good enough for some things, why isn't God good enough for all things? See, it really comes back down to some self-centeredness and our own thoughts and ideas and wanting to have our own way. It's not about God's inability. It's not that God hasn't thought through some things. Here's the deal. God wants you, his children, to be in right relationship with him. He has a plan and a path for your lives, and he wants you to live that out, because that plan and purpose fulfills his purpose, which is for us to be like Jesus, and in order to draw others into fellowship and relationship with him. We're here to serve his purposes, not ours. Life is not about how big or well-known or or comfortable can I become while I'm here to get ready for heaven? How do you get ready for heaven? By obeying God. It's not about your position or prestige here. It's about your relationship with Him for the sake of eternity. I think sometimes we get too focused on this life and just think heaven's going to be icing on the cake. That's the fluff at the end. That's the stuff that comes along thereafter. God wants to do things in our life here and now. We need to identify the issues, pro or con. We need to stop the excuses and thinking on our own limited abilities rather than God's unlimited abilities and power. And then we need to achieve victory when we obey. Do you remember what God said in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12 to Moses? He said, "I will be with you." He said that specifically to Moses. "I will be with you." Did you hear what he said in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12? He said, "I will help you and I will teach you." "Well, Lord, I don't know." "I will teach you." "Lord, I don't know if I can." "I will help you." "Well, Lord, I'm scared." "I'll be with you." Stop making excuses. And in Matthew chapter 28, we find what we know is the Great Commission, and the final word from God is, "I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." In other words, I'm not leaving. You're not going to do this alone. I'm not asking you to do it without me. I'm just asking you to be the channel through which I can do it. Will you give me permission to work in you and through you? For you? You say, "Wow, how do I do that?" Well, Psalms 119 gives us some really good direction. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" There's the question. "Lord, how can I do what you want me to do?" And here's his answer: "By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's a pretty simple directive here. Read the word. Know the word. Embrace the word. Live the word. If you'll do what I said in my word, you're always going to be okay. You may not be okay in terms of what you want temporally. You may not be okay in terms of what other people think is good temporally. I'm telling you, though, in terms of eternity, if you will just do what I say, you'll be fine. I'll take care of you. I'll always be there. I'll help you through everything. You say, "Well, yeah, but that's Old Testament stuff, and that seems kind of passe." Well, you know, all I can tell you is this is what he said in the New Testament in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Now here's a question. "Brother Gary, have you always done that?" Here's the answer: no. Explanation: not God's fault. God is not responsible for any one wrong choice I ever made. I made them because I wanted to. I made them because I wanted what I wanted more than what He wanted for me. I made them because I was looking for a little temporary pleasure. I made them because I was looking for some self-satisfaction. I made them because I wanted to. In some cases, it was ignorance and inexperience, but in some cases, it was just obstinance. I just didn't do what I knew to do. And what He would have helped me to have done if I would have simply prayed and asked Him. Are you going to keep covering up the trash in your life? Or do you want God to clean you up? Do you want to be detoxed from the stuff that the enemy wants to keep in your life? Brother Greg, I just want to say thank you to you. Okay, I've been going to a heart doctor for 10 years, and they told me I should lose weight, and they kept telling me I should lose weight, and I kept trying to lose weight, and I thought I was doing things that would cause me to lose weight, and I was just kind of hanging at the same weight. And you asked if you could treat me, and I said, okay, I'll come. And you said, okay, here's what I want you to do. And you gave me a specific direction. I didn't like it, but you gave it to me. And I tried to follow it to the best of my ability, and I began to see results. Okay? Now, every once in a while, I fudge on fudge. But here's what I've learned. Once I cleaned up my act, and I started eating clean, when I go after a little self-pleasure, it just doesn't feel the same. Kind of slows you down, that sugar stuff kind of, you know, you kind of go through a drop. And so, just on a personal level, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for caring about me as your pastor, and thanks for helping me. And I've lost, you know, I'm hanging around the 20 to 24 pound mark. I'm still trying to get on farther down there. I'm kind of hanging at a level. But I'm better off than I was. And thanks. But it's because I had to do something. I could have looked at those directions on paper that Greg gave me, because he gave me a specific set of directions. They had numbers on them, this many grams. I hate that number. You don't eat this. I don't like that. I got a card from one of my really good friends when I first had my heart attack 11 years ago, and it simply said this: if it tastes good, spit it out. Is there some sacrifice to being pure? Yes. But my blood pressure is the best it's been in 30 years, and indeed I feel lighter because I am. My knees thank me every day. You know, do I still have some challenges? Yeah. But that's kind of how we are in our spiritual walk sometimes. God has given us some direction, and if we'll follow it, He will make us pure. And when you don't do it, you feel a little dirty. Kind of feel the drag. Doesn't have to be that way. Just do what He says. Follow directions. The end result will be good. Are you going to keep covering up the trash? Or are you going to be what God wants you to be? This book has challenged me. I wish I could say that I've done everything exactly the way that was recommended there, but it certainly has challenged me, and I'm working again at some spiritual issues in my life. And I'll just tell you, I'm just going to tell you, one of the biggest struggles that I have is keeping up a regular prayer and Bible reading life in a personal devotional way. I read the Bible, and I like to read the Bible, and I study for sermons. But one of the struggles that I have as a preacher is I have a hard time just reading the Bible for God to say to me what He wants to say to me without trying to find a sermon in there. Oh, that'll preach. There's 3 points right there. And sometimes God says, will you quit it? I just want to tell you I love you. I miss it when you don't show up. And I'm absolutely convinced, not because I think you're bad or anything, but I'm absolutely convinced that every one of us has struggles in our life. And what we need to do is just simply be honest and say, God, I'm struggling with this. And let Him clean it up. Let Him change it. Let him motivate. God's not going to ask us anything that we're not supposed to do that He won't make us better because of. And He's not going to ask us anything He won't help us with. And so I'm just asking you this morning, are you ready to clean the trash up? Are you ready to go through detox? Are you ready to give up some things? And I don't know what that means for you. And I'm not saying that we have a church full of people with bad, nasty habits. It might not be anything like that. It might just be that you're just dragging your feet about some really cool thing God would like for you to do, and you're just thinking, man, I don't think I can do that. It could be a lot of things. There's no judgment here. All I'm saying is you'll never be all you could be until you surrender everything and just follow God's direction. Will you stand with me? No music playing, no created atmosphere. Just gut-level honesty. God told Moses what He wanted him to do, and Moses started making excuses. I'm here to ask you this morning, Is there anything in your life you're making excuses about? Is there anything right now in your life that you know you ought to be doing and you're saying to God, well, I can't do that because? Because I'm here to tell you, if you really want to live victoriously right now, you just need to give that thing to God and say, okay, I'm going to quit telling you why I can't. I'm just going to start trying to get it done. With your help. With your help. Maybe there is something in your life that's a habit that shouldn't be there. Maybe you need God's help to get rid of it. Maybe you're thinking about stuff you shouldn't think about. Maybe you're watching stuff you shouldn't watch. Maybe you're saying things you shouldn't say. Maybe you're harboring attitudes you shouldn't harbor. When people get right with God, though, revival happens. I mean, when everybody starts seeking God and His Word more than anything else, revival takes place. Is God free to move in your life however He wants to? Or are you putting up obstacles? Are you absolutely in the center of God's will today? Are you just a little off target? I'm not saying you're lost. I'm just saying, could you be more honed in? Could you be more tuned in? Could you be more in sync to where God can really move efficiently and effectively in your life? These altars are open. I'm going to pause for a moment. We're not going to play any music. We're not going to sing any verses. But I'm convinced sometimes we need to do things in such a way as for people to know that God has asked us and we're saying yes. And I don't think standing back will always get it done. Anybody here this morning that just needs a place to pray? And say, Lord, you've put your finger on something. I just want you to know it's yours. That area of your life, my life is yours. Take it, do with what you will. Anybody like that this morning? Any need? Anyone needs a place to pray? Lord, I'm telling you this morning, Brother Gary wants to do a better job this year. I want to get back in the rhythm of prayer and the rhythm of really reading the Word, first and foremost, because it's your love letter to me. And out of that, I pray, Father, that you will indeed bring sermons that can help other people. But Lord, don't let me just always read the Word looking for it. Lord, just speak to me. I confess to you that my devotional life has not been what I think it should be. I don't think it's been what you want, desire for it to be, because you can't do some of the things you like to do when I'm not listening or talking to you. So, Father, I just lay myself out before my people. I ask for their prayers. I want to be all that you want me to be. I don't want to settle for second best. I don't want to go halfway. I want to be obedient. I want to be sold out. Father, I believe that you're patient and kind and loving and forgiving. And so I receive your forgiveness for myself today. And I thank you for your love for me. Help us as a church to move forward. Help us tonight, Father, as we try to discern your direction for your church. Give us a great afternoon. We love you and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen.